You might have noticed, newspapers, TV stations, and other news outlets are dropping like flies in Canada these days. Whoops, there goes another one. But that's okay, because it leaves more room for independent media, like Ravel.ca. You can join the independent media revolution too. Go to www.ravel.ca/donate.
Asia Pacific Currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Workers of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links. Good morning and welcome to Asia Pacific Currents this Saturday, the 9th of July, here on Community Radio 3CR, 1 minute past 9 o'clock. I'm Giselle Hannah.
And I'm Pierre Morrow, and thanks to Solidarity Breakfast for another interesting program. And of course, Giselle, this is brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links every week, isn't it, this radio program?
That's right. If you want to get in touch with Australia Asia Worker Links, you can contact us on the web, all the www.aawl.org.au. You can email us at aawl@aawl.org.au. We're on social media as well, so you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, you can ring us on 9663 7277.
And don't forget that even though Radio Sign is a few weeks past, some of our people who've pledged haven't paid up yet, so please do so. And of course, if you haven't paid up, you can always donate money to keep this fantastic radio station on the air.
Yeah, listener, here's the truth about that. We'll take your money whenever you want to give it to us. We just make a super, super massive effort during Radiothon to shake those coins out of your pockets.
That's right. Now, on today's program, I better let you know what's happening. I think even though Giselle seems very jovial this morning, which is a nice change from her usual antagonistic
thank you, Pierre.
Self.
Oh, wow. On-air rapport is so wonderful, isn't it, Pierre?
That's right. Well, we've got, apart from the normal news roundup coming up, we've got in the second half of the program an interview with Farooq Tariq from the Awami Workers Party in Pakistan to talk about the jailing of 40 years of Babajan and 11 other activists in Pakistan. We did mention this a few weeks ago, so we've got the interview for you today. And it's...
I just wanted to say, so listeners, we're bringing you a series of stories, if you haven't noticed, looking at the number of our comrades that have been arrested recently and locked up across the region. So last week we looked at the situation for Iranian prisoners. This week we're looking at our comrades in Pakistan that have been locked up. I mean, this is the repression against union and political activists across the region. Next week we're going to try and speak with our comrades in Korea. For those of you who haven't followed the news, comrade Han Sung-kyun, I think Pierre's about to update you, but Han Sung-kyun, so the trial concluded, he has been sentenced. I'll hand over to Pierre to launch straight into news from around the region.
Although, Giselle, that's perfect segue, you know, you just like mentioned that.
Oh, we're just working super well together, aren't
that's
we?
That's right, that's exactly right, Giselle. Thinking on the same thought wave, but yes, hopefully, while we're working on it, we'll bring you an interview about Han Sung-kyun next week. But last week, in a stunning attack against the South Korean workers' movement, Mr. Han Sung-kyun, the president of the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions, the KCTU, was given a 5-year jail sentence. Han's crimes were for organizing demonstrations. Han has been a tireless fighter for labor rights, spanning from his early years in Gwangju to his later involvement in the SsangYong factory occupation. Han was jailed for 3 years for that occupation. This sentence that has just been given to him is an attempt by the South Korean government to destroy organized labor in that country. Workers internationally need to support Han, and Han Sung-kyun is a working class hero for workers all around the world.
And in a world first, in our modest suburb of Preston, a monument is going to be unveiled in honour of all the victims of genocide and atrocity crimes. The overwhelming victims of genocides and mass atrocities have always been workers, their families and communities. Such crimes are a weapon of terror against our class. This monument will provide a solemn place to reflect on all victims, remind us of our common humanity and strengthen our resolve to prevent such crimes. The unveiling of the monument is going to be between 3 and 5 o'clock next Sunday, the 17th of July. That's going to be at the Darabin Arts and Entertainment Centre, which is on the corner of Bell Streets and St George's Roads in Preston.
And be there. I'll certainly get to it. We go now to India, where a little bit of a piece of good news. Last week, one of the remaining workers still in jail following the repression of the Maruti Suzuki workers' struggle in 2012 was released on bail. Of the original 148 workers that were arrested, 35 still remain in jail. I did say it was just a little bit of good news. The campaign by the Maruti Suzuki workers was a watershed struggle for workers in the Gurgaon industrial belt around New Delhi. Unfortunately, their fight was defeated under heavy repression from the company and the government. A new film by Rahul Roy, titled The Factory, provides an insight into these workers' lives and ongoing fight for justice.
So our next story is also from India, but not positive at all, actually. So the Indian government on Wednesday, the 20th of June, announced a package for the garment and textile industry, stating that it will lead to the creation of 10 million jobs and amass a cumulative increase of about $30 billion in exports and investments. Although the package has been welcomed by the industry with open arms, the truth behind the large numbers is not exactly glossy. The garment industry at present is already reliant on informal labour, subjected to numerous violations of labour rights. Creation of new jobs on a large scale without a proper strategy to place for monitoring compliance with labour laws in all tiers of the supply chain would only mean an increase in the exploitative conditions. The announcement further includes changes in labour laws to fuel the employment process, including the introduction of fixed-term employment. This term is a camouflage for irregular short-term contract labour that is a recipe for labour violations. Any form of non-regular employment reinforces and increases the insecure conditions of workers. It pushes workers into employment terms that are unaccountable, at the whim of the employer, and susceptible to rights violations. The package serves to benefit only supplier factory management to boost export production at the cost of human rights of workers. In order to compete with other countries, the government can improve other aspects such as better infrastructure, efficient use of energy and water, better industrial engineering on the shop floor, better managerial skills, education and skill development of its workforce. All of which would be good for the country and its competitiveness. Instead, such packages only ends up squeezing India's already poor workforce. It speedily takes India to the bottom in the race to the bottom, as opposed to a high road development and growth approach. That is an excerpt of a statement that was prepared by the Asia Floor Wage. We're going to put a post. We're going to attach the link to the mini news this week if you want to read the rest of it.
I mean, the really tragic and issue about all that is, I mean, the garment industry in Bangladesh and Cambodia is already, you have to say, the bottom of the barrel. It's hard to even contemplate what even further bottom that could be.
And just to remind listeners of the scale of this particular package, they are intending to create 10 million jobs in the garment industry alone with this package.
Shocking. Certainly something to see. We now go to next door to Sri Lanka, where this week more than 3,000 members of independent trade unions demonstrated against severe anti-union discrimination in the free trade zones in that country. Now, after the presidential election in January 2015 and the election of the formation of the new government in August of that year, many employers in Sri Lanka have been pushing and demanding labour law reform, in inverted commas, to get rid of unions from the free trade zones. Now, protesting workers have demanded that workers stop threats of physical attacks, recognise unions as collective bargaining agents, reinstate all employees dismissed for trade union activities, stop employing precarious workers with the intention to bust union activities, and punish officials engaged in sexual harassment. And we have to say that Sri Lanka is one of the few countries where in free trade zones there's actually functioning independent trade unions. So that's really important for this struggle to succeed and for these unions not to be destroyed.
And something that is partly a good news story, but obviously we also have some concerns about it. Compensation payments to the victims of the Tazreen Fashions fire in Bangladesh have finally been completed. More than 100 people were killed and around 200 injured in the garment factory disaster in Ashulia on the 24th of November in 2012. The Tazreen Claims Administration Trust says a total of $2.17 million has now been paid to the families of 112 dead and missing workers and to 174 people injured in the fire. In one of the worst disasters to hit the garment industry, of course, we can't forget about Rana Plaza, which was a year later. In modern times, workers burnt alive behind locked exits, while others leapt to their death from factory windows. Many suffered life-changing injuries in the fire at the 1,600-worker factory. The compensation process was based on the mechanism used to compensate thousands of victims of the 2013 Rana Plaza factory collapse in Bangladesh, with loss of income for the injured, deceased and missing workers calculated on the basis of ILO Convention 121. The Tazreen Claims Administration estimated that a total of $2.5 million would be needed to pay compensation and provide long-term medical care to the injured. So a good outcome. Obviously, congratulations to all the workers who kept up the fight. The compensation comes 3.5 years after the accident itself. So, of course, we had families and injured workers languishing in that time.
And of course, that comes after your other story about India. I mean, that is the bottom of the garment sector, and the Indian government wants to outcompete it. I think that says all. And for our last story, I believe that's our last story, yes. We did report it last week, the news from Iran, but the on the last day of June, Jafar Azimzadeh, the chair of the Free Union of Workers of Iran, ended his two-month-long hunger strike when Iranian authorities granted him special leave. Jafar had been taken to hospital due to his deteriorating health conditions, and there were fears that he would be sent back to prison. While Jafar is out of prison and recuperating, he is still facing the prospect of a new trial. Now, obviously, actions and support by workers both inside and outside of Iran were crucial in getting him a stay and getting him at least a new trial. So that's all that we've got for today's news roundup. We'll go to a quick community announcement and then we'll be back with the interview with Farooq Tariq about Babajan and his other jailed activists.
Which base provides key information for every US drone strike, played a crucial role in Iraq and Afghanistan wars, as well as providing targeting and surveillance information for the Israeli Defense Force.
Star Wars.
The Empire Strikes Back.
War is terrorism.
It's the Pine Gap Joint Defense Facility, located just 20 kilometres from Alice Springs on Aranda Country, and this year marks 50 years of its inglorious existence. Come and join the Closed Pine Gap protest near the gates of the base from September 26th to 30th. For all the details, head to closepinegap.org. Get in quick to book your early bird bus ticket from Melbourne for just $200 return. That's closepinegap.org. See you there. Closed Pine Gap is a 3CR supporter.
War is terrorism.
Star Wars.
It's just on 14 past 9 o'clock here on Asia Pacific Current on your favourite community radio station, 3CR Radio. And as mentioned at the start of the program, the interview for today's program is with Farooq Tariq, who is from the Awami Workers Party in Pakistan. And the theme of the interview is about the arrest and the circumstances that led to the arrest of Babajan, the conviction of him and 11 other activists to 40 years in jail.
Babajan and 11 other activists have just recently been handed a 40-year sentence. This sentence relates to protests that happened 6 years ago around homelessness due to a landslide in the northern section of Pakistan. Can you give us a brief update on what the issues were and why he was arrested in the first place?
So an artificial lake was created after landslide on the banks of River Hunza, which was going through in Hunza Valley in Gilgit, Baltistan. And the water started accumulating, and also the water took few villages in its fold, and Babajan tried to campaign around that issue that people should not be drowned because of this artificial lake. Initially, he campaigned about the lake at Asahabad, but later when the government took the notice, around 200 people were affected. It was 9 villages in that area, and then government announced a compensation of ₹500,000 for every single inhabitant of that valley. And Babajan was like the main campaigner for that compensation. But the government of People's Party at that time did not pay compensation to all the families. So a protest was organized when the Chief Minister of Gilgit Baltistan arrived in 2010. And the police wanted to remove the protesters, and then police opened fire, which resulted in the killing of a father and a son. And this enraged the whole crowd. People were very angry. Police fled away. The administration fled away. And then Babajan was not there at that time. He came later. And then they demanded that the FIR, the first investigation report of the police, should be registered against the police officer responsible for the firing and killing of the two. After 4 days, the government produced an FIR and the movement stopped. But when the movement died down, then the police registered cases against 100 people for rioting, for demonstrations, for taking over police stations and the city administration office. And this was untrue that there was rioting. There was no loot and plunder. It was very angry protest, very militant protest, but peaceful protest. And in that case, Babajan and his 11 other comrades were arrested. And then an anti-terrorist court gave them 2 life sentences, which was overturned by the High Court of Gilgit Baltistan. And Babajan was set free, not free, but he was found not guilty in one of the cases. And later the Supreme Appellate Court reversed the decision of the High Court. That means they restored 40 years of sentence to Babajan and his comrades.
From an outside point of view, it seems an incredibly harsh sentence for what were only really demonstrations. But knowing a bit about the politics of Pakistan, it's not the first time that anti-terrorism laws have been used against labor activists. And I'm thinking very much of the Faisalabad Six, which were also convicted. What is the political significance of Babajan and his 11 comrades?
This is a very bad decision by the Supreme Court, a very politically motivated, maneuvered decision, which is not accepted by majority of the population in Gilgit and Baltistan, and a lot of people are angry and writing against the decision. This is the most unpopular decision the court has made on Babajan case, because this was just a demonstration. It is a too harsh sentence for political activists. There was no murder, there was no attempt of murder, there was no rioting, there was no loot or plunder. So no heinous crime was committed during the demonstrations. So no one is accepting the ruling. The reason behind was that they want to keep Babajan out of politics. And there was an election last year, and Babajan contested the election for the Gilgit-Baltistan Assembly, and he stood second. And this year again, that after that seat got vacant, because the person who won the election was promoted as governor of Gilgit-Baltistan. And Babajan was again put up by Awami Workers Party as a candidate to contest Honza 6 constituency. But this time Babajan's popularity was at its peak, and it was absolute clear from all the demonstrations that he will sweep the election. It would have been a landslide victory for him. But the court, on to please the government, decided to sentence Babajan, and this was a very unprecedented example of maneuvering on political basis.
Babajan comes from the very northern part of Pakistan. So has this issue and the fact that the police that actually shot the demonstrators dead have not been tried, has this issue of these unjust sentences has had much of an echo, much of repercussions in the rest of Pakistan?
Yes, it's becoming popular. It's the most popular thing on social media at the present time, but also the main media, the main commercial media is taking this story up. BBC had made reports, some of the English newspaper have taken up. Now, sentencing Babajan under anti-terrorist law, and Babajan is not a terrorist, and anti-terrorist laws are now used very often against peasant leaders, against labor leaders, and against climate change environmentalists. So it's a misuse of the law, and Babajan case has become like an example to show how bad this decision has been used for political reasons. And the reason why they are so keen to keep Babajan out is that his constituency is bordering China, and there is an economic corridor planned from China to Gwadar port, which is around 3,000 kilometers, and a lot of money is involved. It's $46 billion project, and Babajan, if elected from that area, would not let any person to take bribe or to bribe people for contracts, and a lot of money involved in contracts. So the ruling party sees that an honest working class hero, if he becomes an MP, it will be a problem for them, for their projects, for their money, and for their whole purpose of the politics. So that's why they are so keen to keep Babajan out of politics and to keep him in jail for the rest of his life.
And I'm assuming from what you've said about the use of the anti-terrorism laws that the elites, the government of Pakistan, wants this sentence to set an example to create fear among the rest of the working class in Pakistan.
Yes, it's like this anti-terrorist laws are used against the peasant movement of Okada, Anjuman Muzahirin Punjab, which is fighting for land rights at Okada military farms. All of their leaders are behind bar. Faisalabad, the power workers were, the power loom workers were also sentenced on this. And now Babajan and also many other political activists. It's a wholesale use of anti-terrorist laws against political opponents in Pakistan. And we are demanding to review the whole case in this issue.
As a final question, Farooq, so where are we up to in the campaign to free Baba Jan and for the charges to be dropped against him and his 11 other comrades, both within Pakistan and internationally?
Yes, in Pakistan there has been countless demonstrations took place. One of the largest rally was at his own constituency, where this was a rally never seen in the history of that constituency. Over 10,000 people participated in that small area. And also in parts of Pakistan, in Hyderabad, in Karachi, and in other areas, there has been demonstrations. But also the 7 Irish parliamentarians from the left have demanded for the release of Baba Jan. And last week, it was the Red Bloc from Portugal, whose 4 members of the parliament and 1 Euro MP have demanded. And more are sending messages of solidarity and so on. So the campaign is going on. It has been taken up by Human Rights Commission of Pakistan. It is taken up by Amnesty International. It's been taken up by the News International, which is the largest paper of Pakistan. And they wrote an editorial last week on Baba Jan, demanding justice for Baba Jan. So Baba Jan case is not like will be forgotten by the people of Pakistan and internationally. And we appeal through your program, also in Australia, we appeal to the trade unions, we appeal to the left MPs, green MPs, and all those who are a defender of human rights. They should also send resolutions to us, and which will be further passed on to the government of Gilgit and Baltistan. We will not let this go quietly. We will make as much noise as possible. And we are sure that they have to release Baba Jan and others, that there is no basis but to keep them for lifelong prison.
Well, thank you very much, Farooq, for those fighting words, the information. And we certainly like to express our solidarity, and we will publicize the issue of Baba Jan and the fight for workers and human rights activists in Pakistan. So all the very best, and keep up your hard work.
Thank you.
Wondering how you pay your donation to the 3CR Radiothon? Well, you can do so online at www.3cr.org.au or call us with your credit card details on 9419 8377. You can also come into the station at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy, during office hours and pay by cash, cheque or FPOS. Or simply post your cheque or money order to PO Box 1277 Collingwood 3066 and be sure to tell us which program you'd like your donation to go to.
It is 27 minutes past 9 o'clock here on Community Radio 3CR. You're listening to Asia Pacific Currents. That was an interview with Farooq Tariq about the situation for the comrades that have been arrested in Pakistan. Just in the closing minutes of the show, I want you to keep a date free. This is Monday the 8th of August. That's our next film fundraiser. I'll announce details in the coming weeks, and definitely keep your eye on Facebook for details. It'll either be The Lab that we were going to screen last month, or it'll be a documentary on the Maruti Suzuki dispute. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
I think I'm very excited about the Maruti Suzuki film. I haven't seen it, but I think it'd be fantastic. And
In that case, listeners, we're definitely not screening that film. We'll be screening definitely something else.
Thank you, Giselle. And listen, this is what I've got to put up all the time. But anyway,
he's so hard done by.
Unfortunately, it's almost 29 past 9 o'clock and we really have to go, and I can't really tell the listener. Next week I will do much better. But anyway, you've been listening to Asia Pacific Currents, brought you every week by Australia Asia Worker Links. We'll be back next week at 9 o'clock for another program. Stay tuned for Palestine. Remember, coming up straight after this community announcement. And my name is Pierre Morrow.
And I'm Giselle Hannah.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.